whatever you think it is you don't have, you still have something that is of value to someone. You can still be of service to someone and identify what it is that you still have and give that away.
Welcome to Reinvention Rebels, stories of brave and unapologetic women, 50 to 90 years young, who have boldly reimagined life on their own terms to find new purpose and possibilities. I'm your host, Wendy Battles. Ready for a dose of inspiration? Let's get to it. One of the coolest things about life is that we can reinvent ourselves as many times as we like. And such is the case for my guest today and dear friend, Denise Keys Page. Denise and I met when we both worked at the 1995 Special Olympics World Games. We became fast friends, bonding over many long hours and shared meals. After the games, we put our collective creative and entrepreneurial talents to work and founded Kumba Collective, selling beautiful handmade goods, she hats, our friend Kathy textiles, and me jewelry. Denise operates from a simple core belief. Women benefit society as a whole. Healthy women foster healthy children and families that in turn support healthy communities. She's been a community activist in the New Haven Public Schools, a national and local trainer for the Anti-Defamation League's A World of Difference program, and founded Dream Catchers LLC, a training and consulting firm. As a 68-year-young reinvention rebel, Denise continues to find ways to reinvent herself and add value for others. In fact, yet again, we're on similar spiritual paths, awakening older women to what's possible no matter their age. She created the Fired Up Flourish with Grace curriculum, holds retreats for older women, and helps women find community. So key as we age and we find ourselves in new, often challenging circumstances. She also has a love for telling stories. You can find her sharing her captivating tales in numerous venues, of course now mostly virtual, and most recently launched Ubuntu Storytellers. Ubuntu is a Zulu term that loosely translated means I am because you are. It speaks to our shared humanity that connects all of us. Ubuntu Storytellers features storytellers of color sharing a compelling series of stories of challenge, growth, and victory. Over the years, we've bonded over our spiritual journeys, supported each other through multiple life transitions, and been each other's cheerleaders no matter the challenge presented to us. I'm excited to welcome Denise to Reinvention Rebels and have you soak up her wisdom, energy, and passion for life. Denise Keys Page, welcome to the Reinvention Rebels guest chair.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. I'm so excited to be here. And as you know, excited for two reasons. I'm excited to be on this side, but I'm thrilled that you're on the other side because I know that this is the manifestation of your purpose and your dream. So I'm really excited to have us sharing this space.
So exciting. And I love the fact that we're on this similar journey, mm-hmm. right? That we've kind of figured things out. And I know we've spent our whole lives kind of figuring things out. Both of us have reinvented ourselves many times. So it's going to be just an awesome conversation. And I want to start by asking you a little bit about your life. I know that you are someone that has reinvented yourself many times over. Mm-hmm. All in a way that seems to me is about connecting with others to create value. That's a theme I see in your life. But of course, you could have chosen an easier path. You could have maintained the status quo. You didn't have to reinvent yourself.
As long as I could remember, I have not chosen the easy or obvious path. as long as I can remember, I've had vision for what I wanted to be and where I wanted to be. And it usually meant charting my own course. And even at times that it looked to my detriment to not choose something that was right in front of me, I respond to what my spirit tells me. And sometimes those paths just felt like there'd be a level of societally accepted success, but it wouldn't fill me. And so I think I'd like to have a different answer, but that's the truth of it. In the times that I've tried other paths, I can survive there for a little bit. But it's basically been that basic. I've just followed what the energy tells me, and the energy points me in a direction. And when I'm obedient, I go.
Right. And I love that idea that you really are in tune enough with yourself to mm-hmm. hear that calling, whatever that might be, even as I heard you say, when it's not always a simple path. Often much more complicated, but is what calls to you in your heart or, you know, your gut. You're trusting your gut.
Yes.
What are some of the things you've learned about yourself by following this path of really listening to that inner voice? What have you learned from that?
So much. Okay. The first thing I learned is that it is a gigantic mistake to not listen. That's perhaps the most important lesson I've learned. In fact, my children, when they were young, would say to me, the one sentence they would not listen to the end of was a sentence that I would begin with, something told me, but then I don't even want to hear it, because we've known and watched you. And when something tells you and you don't have the sense to obey it, we know you've made a mistake. So we already know how that sentence ends. So my children. And they were children. They were adolescent when they were saying that to me. So that's one lesson that I learned. The other lesson that I learned, you know, it's so basic, but it's, I can. Just whatever it is, I can. My sense for all people is that if your spirit or your gut or your soul, whatever you name it, if it speaks to you, you can. No matter what it says, no matter how unbelievable that sounds, no matter how many obstacles you think are in the way, as is one of my core principles, I believe we can't hear what we can't do. And so if I hear it, I believe I can do it.
I love that. You believe we can't hear what we can't do. That is so, girl, I love that.
Well, thanks. Yes. Yeah.
I think that some listeners might be saying, oh, yeah, okay, I kind of get that intellectually. But to go from kind of hearing Denise say that to being able to integrate that in my life in some way, to actually believe it, to believe that I can do it, can be, I think for some people, it's a big shift.
Big stretch, yes.
So how do you think women can get from, I had this inkling, and I'm trying to listen more to that feeling, knowing that is something, whatever I call that, my soul or whatever that is that's speaking to me, but I'm not sure I can do it. How do you think people can kind of cross that gap to getting to, okay, well, then maybe I can. Maybe I can after all, or I'm going to move in that direction.
Are you thinking, I'll have some of what she's having? Reinvention Rebels are amazing, as you can hear from our discussion. They've put themselves first, decided their dreams matter, and are taking action. They have unleashed their inner rebel and are living on purpose in midlife. Are you ready to start putting yourself first and embark on your midlife dreams, focused on what you want, not others' ideas of what you should do? Come check out my new audio course, Midlife Reinvention from the Inside Out, 8 Essentials to Greenlight Your Life. I share my roadmap to get you started on your reinvention journey with the key components you need to navigate detours and get on the road to smooth reinvention sailing. Sis, it is time to give yourself the green light to shine in midlife and crush those dreams of yours with joy and purpose. Join today and let's reinvent and get inspired together. Details are in the show notes.
I think the first thing is to get clarity on what you're hearing. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But first, we have to really sit in silence and be clear what we're hearing, because we talk to ourselves as well. And other energies speak to us. And so we want to make sure that we're hearing divine energy or connected energy speaking to us. So that's the first thing. And then when we're clear, one thing that I learned the hard way is all I have to lose by not pursuing it is not attaining it. I must take micro steps towards what it is I'm hearing. And in those micro steps, we learn what it is that we need to keep pursuing that goal. Or if it's been miscommunication, we learn that we don't have it. But I do believe it's taking micro steps. In Fired Up, the whole basis of Fired Up is learning to distinguish what I call learning to distinguish the low-hanging fruit from the plums, because we're conditioned to go for the low-hanging fruit. All low-hanging fruit is not nourishing or edible. And so when we develop the insight to listen and say, that's low-hanging fruit, but there's the plum, that's a little higher than the low-hanging fruit, but I know where it is I need to get to. I'm going to strive for the plum. And so, again, I don't want my response to sound esoteric, but it is this basic as we listen to that voice by trying it on and doing that which we hear. And I have a recent example. I know you know as my friend that I had a long, unexpected valley experience I never ever expected to have in life. I had laid all the groundwork, had a super fabulous life, and, you know, full of all the things I think of real value, not just material, but real value. And then I didn't. And along that journey, I learned a lot of things, and I learned many of those things by, it took me a while to realize this is what happened. And when I journaling, I discovered it, but I was experiencing a crisis of confidence. Now, I can tell you that's something I had never experienced. I've been a lot of things, and I know I can't do all things, and I don't do all things excellently, and I have done some things poorly, but I've never lacked confidence. And I realized that you agree, I take it.
Yes. I do. As someone who knows you, yeah. You're a very confident person.
Yeah. So, but I did it in this valley. Being there so long, I realized, and this was the great awakening, that I really had a crisis of confidence. I had lost the belief in myself. And once I realized that that's what I was experiencing, then I thought, well, I don't know how to get it back, because like all my tools are gone. I was in my mid-50s, and I thought all the tools that I had always been able to rely on to propel me to the next place, or if not propel me, gently nudge me to the next place, most of those tools were not around. But in the moment, in those moments of really meditating and praying and looking for answers, I got two answers. And one was, whatever you think it is you don't have, you still have something that is of value to someone. You can still be of service to someone, and identify what it is that you still have and give that away. And I did that. And the other thing I heard was, and your next journey is a solo journey. You don't need partners. You have great friends and great resources of friends and people, and they're greatly talented. But your next journey is to come from you and you alone. And then, you know, I have a Christian faith, and I heard, and I'll be there with you and support you. And I can tell you that that's exactly what happened, that I thought, what can I do? And you may have figured this out. I talk a lot.
No.
Yes, I talk. and I read. And so I thought, well, I have voice and I like to read. And there are people who love the written word and can't read anymore for a variety of reasons. And so let me find someone who wants to be read to. And so I did. And what I can't really express what I got from that. And those moments that I spent reading and sharing with someone who also loved literature, who had lost the capacity to read by herself, was just one of the greatest gifts that I've ever received. And in that space, my confidence came back. It was slow, but in that space, I realized you're still a person of value. You still have something people can benefit from. You still, those things that you've always loved are still available to you, and trust that and step out on that. So that's how it happened for me.
I love that. So I hear you saying that you really used your faith to step out in that way that you, again, that theme of really going inside and listening.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What bubbled up, and you heard this message of I can always add value.
Exactly. Exactly.
Even when I think I can't. Like, you knew in the past that you're adding value in very concrete ways, because people will tell you, oh, this went, Denise, this was great, or Denise, this was so valuable. So that's really clear. But
right.
I hear you when you talk about that your confidence can be shaken. So sometimes people can still tell you this is really valuable, but you might not believe it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you have to kind of look inside, find that, hear that voice that said, Denise, you can always add value. I like how you said that I got clear that this was something that I could do by myself. I didn't need, because I know you've worked with lots of people in the past. You've partnered up with people in lots of different ways, through your training company, etc. But I like how you embrace this idea that I don't have to necessarily rely on or partner with someone else to create my path.
Exactly. Exactly. And the irony of that is I did go forth alone, and my new business, Ubuntu Storytellers, it's new. I mean, it's brand new. And we launched, in fact, our pilot program last weekend. And I just finished up the third component of that today. But in launching it and getting it grounded and bringing in the people I wanted as per diem storytellers, because we storytell, it is still anti-racist work. We do stories and then we follow up with training modules. And the stories are the way to open the heart so that we can move through to move to head and hands. And in doing so, in charting it alone, just the way that divine intervention works, I do now have a partner, but I have someone who partnered in on my vision. And my message was, you have a vision. You've always had vision. Put your vision out there, and that will create an energy that will attract others. If you start with a partner, no matter how fabulous the partner, and I am certainly not against partnerships. My partnership with Dreamcatchers was phenomenal. However, sometimes when we start our dream with our partner, just because of the way we're socialized, we begin to compromise or negotiate our dream before we've had an opportunity to see whether or not it could stand. And so the lesson I learned when doing this alone was just put your vision forth. And if others come in and enhance it by negotiating, compromising, adding on, that's fine. But the vision is intact. It hasn't morphed into something else because people shared kind of perceptions formed it. So that's the only way that I can express what the blessing of this has been. It's like I had a vision. It was very, very clear. I wanted to do it my way. And I've done that, and I've been really, the people who have come on, the storytellers, I call some of this the COVID blessing, because I met storytellers because of COVID that I never would have met, because we're doing a lot of our work virtually, so I got to see the work of other people I had heard about and made connections, and so they're on board, and it's just phenomenal, phenomenal people, phenomenally talented, phenomenally generous, phenomenally committed to the work of social justice in eradicating racism. So I don't remember what the original question was, but those are all my answers to it.
I love it. And I want to go back to one thing I heard you say that really resonated with me. And it feels like part of what happened for you in this experience mm-hmm. of doing this work solo, getting clear about your vision, is that you made sure that what you wanted was a priority.
Exactly.
Not that other people's, you know, dreams and visions aren't priority too, but I feel like we get to a certain point in our lives where, especially as women, we've spent so much time accommodating other people, supporting other people, being caretakers to our children, mm-hmm. our spouses, our parents. I mean, you name it, fill in the blank. Yes. It could be any or all of the above.
Yes.
And so often, of course, as we all know, women put everybody else first and not themselves. And part of what I hear you saying in this is that I got really clear about this is what I want. By getting clear, though, you also attracted then very easily. It sounds like you started to attract these other people.
Absolutely. Yes. I put a call out for storytellers and facilitators. I knew who I wanted. And some of these people I had relationship with and some I didn't. I just knew of their work. And I put a call out, and I can tell you that I have precisely the people I wanted on board in the capacity that I wanted them. We're still growing and expanding. So anyone in your audience who's interested, the storytellers are Black and brown, period. And I do, at this point, we will later build an ally storyteller community, but right now they're Black and brown storytellers. And I just want to clarify what I think is our uniqueness. We tell stories between being victim and saint. One of the things that I've always said about Black and brown stories, you know, first we had none in the mainstream, and then we began to have some. But from my listening, and this may not be the truth, it's my experience with it. Most of the stories that I hear about Black and brown people are the victim stories, which is clearly a huge part of our existence. And those stories need to be told. They have value. They need to be told. Or we hear I was born with 1 foot and 3 arms and no parents, left in a basket. And now I got my PhD from Harvard and I pilot, you know, those super saint, superhero stories. And we are that too. Often I say just the fact that we're still here, given our collective history, already makes us superheroes. So both of those stories are valuable. In between, there's the stories of love and loss, of grief and success, of dining and whining and dancing and swimming and rollerblading. There's just a whole life of stories that we often don't hear or don't associate with Black and brown people. We're going to hear a Black or brown story. We know what it's going to be about. And my sense is that we invite people in to know us when we get to share this. For me, this is really sharing the commonalities. Here's a story about how my best friend died too young. Period. End of story. Had nothing to do with her being Black or me being Black. She had a disease and she died. Anybody else have that? And then from there, we move into the other stories. It also works to what I call take us out of the museum. I feel like so much of how we're seen is part of a journey of learning or exploring, or I think being in harmony with Black and brown people should be about being. And in that being space, we can find the energy and the compassion and build the strategies to dismantle racism. So that's why Ubuntu storytellers, you'll hear a story and you'll say, well, that could have been anybody. Precisely. And then you'll hear some of the stories that you'll say, no, that absolutely only happened to him because he was a Black man. Period. End of story. You can't tell that any other way. So we hear the range. Our facilitators are multicultural, multi-ethnic, multiracial. The storytellers are Black and brown. But when we go into workshop, our facilitators span the globe. So that's the work that we're currently doing.
It's so interesting. And I think obviously, as we all know, it's such a turbulent time mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. there's so much uncertainty in all kinds of different ways, the ways that I think we're all very familiar with, but that it sounds like to me it's a really great opportunity to connect with people about these things that are often hard to talk about, or yes, we often don't know how to talk about because we never had to talk about them, or we didn't learn how to talk about them. And there's just so much where people can't listen to each other right now, or they don't want to listen to each other. So one of the things that really speaks to me about this approach is that it feels so heart-centered.
That's exactly right, Wendy. That's exactly the intent and the motivation, is that we start there. We so often hear all the facts, and they're abominable and frightening. And I think too often that moves us to either paralysis or anger.
Yes.
And I'm not sure what either of those do in terms of challenging the systems that oppress us. But I think when we're moved by our heart, that we can find the space to sit down. And as I said, the end goal is to develop strategies. It's not just be moved. It's first move in your heart and have it move to your head and hands. Now you have felt it.
Yes.
What are you going to do about it? Exactly. How do we do it together? Yes.
Yeah. And it seems like it allows people, anybody, to come and to have a role in changing things, right?
Exactly.
Any of us can do that. It doesn't matter what color we are, but this can provide this opening for people. Because I think that when you hear the stories and people are being vulnerable, I mean, I think anytime you're telling a story, you're allowing yourself to be vulnerable.
Absolutely.
Right? No matter what it is.
Exactly.
And I think that when I can see you being vulnerable and telling your story, then I realize, oh, it's okay for me to share something too.
That's precisely feedback that we got today from the second part of our workshop with the same group of people. They heard the stories on Friday night. They came to a workshop last Saturday and a follow-up workshop today. And in closing, I can't tell you how many of the participants, both people of color and white people, who said, I have learned the power of two things: telling my story and not being ashamed of it. And of course, the power of listening. And then we move to in the power of speaking truth to what I call ugly, and I say to people, because we know after George Floyd, everybody was asking, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? It feels so big. What can I do? What can I do? And my core belief is that attitudes shape policy. It's like George Floyd, to me, George Floyd and the Central Park experience are inextricably linked. That woman that knew she could call and lie on the brother who was bird watching in Central Park and be believed, that paradigm is what allowed this policeman to believe he could murder a black man in broad daylight and get a light. They're the same thing. We have created a culture that's saying black lives don't matter, and they're the monster and the boogeyman. And so one of the simple things we can do is, when people express that, whoever we are in any color skin, when we hear people denigrating the other, we can simply say, I love you and I respect you, because this often happens at family gatherings. I love you and I respect you. And I will respect you by not trying to convert you to my belief system. I hope that you'll demonstrate the same respect by knowing what you're espousing makes me uncomfortable. And I would ask you not to do it in my presence. That is such a simple thing that most people actually do respond to. You might have a little give and take about it first, but that begins to plant seeds where, people won't necessarily change to your point of view, but it helps stop spreading the poison.
Hey, Reinvention Rebels. Want to have Reinvention Rebels inspiration delivered to your inbox? Head over to reinventionrebels.com and sign up for my news and notes.
No matter what the topic is, in our families, whether it's politics, religion, I mean, it could be anything, right? We all know that there are those family dynamics, that's a way that any of us can find our voice in being able to express to someone about something that can be very painful. Maybe it's a sibling that you have always had this rivalry with that, you know, that they kind of set you off when you see them, right? It doesn't even matter really what it is, but to me, it's that skill that we can gain, because I feel like that's part of sort of this idea of evolving. And as I evolve, I get better at being able to, you know, be my authentic self and take that idea and maybe express it in my own words in a way that's really, I can connect with someone, you know, over whatever that issue is. And I think that, I mean, that's just such a good feeling to be able to speak your truth at any age. And I think as Reinvention Rebels, you know, we're women that are trying to figure it out, right? How can we become our authentic self?
But it's so important, because I think at a certain age, we begin to get worried about the resource of time, because we don't have as much as we've had, you know, no matter how long the life, I'm pretty confident I'm not going to live as long as I have already lived. That's kind of a given. And so when we're looking at what do we do next, we have all these messages that like, oh, you can't waste time doing that, or don't do that. What if you fail, or don't do, or people your age don't do that. And I think to chart, to be a Reinvention Rebel, to go back to how we opened, is to have the confidence to live in that space that's speaking to you. And what you will find is that you do have enough time, that you have the resource of time, because when we're not swimming against the current, we have more time. And when you're in your truth, you're flowing with the current. When you're responding to others' expectations of you or your own sense of limitations, that automatically puts us in a pool where we're swimming against current. And that slows us down. We ultimately end up having less time.
That's such a good way to put it. And part of what I hear you saying in that is it doesn't have to be as hard as we make it.
Right.
Because right. I'm a queen of making things really difficult and struggling and then thinking, oh my gosh, that was so hard. Uh-huh. Why hard?
Yes.
Then to your point, we can get to know ourselves better, become more in tune with ourselves, listen to ourselves, have that spirit come out and trust that path, as you explained, how it unfolded for the storytellers and how you easily were able to attract just the right people who were at just the right place.
Exactly.
Where you could all come together. It's that same thing. I think that's possible for any of us.
I think so. I really do think so. And as I said, I think when we get really clear, and often I say to women who have been successful, whether you've been successful in your personal life or your professional life or your family life, with success, we begin to build rules that often don't serve us in all circumstances. I guess that's the way I say it. And the rules usually have to do with limitations. And so when we're looking for our next path, it is having the courage to say, yes, I could take that job in corporate America. I don't have any money saved for retirement. I lost it all in the crash of 08. I don't have any money saved. They're offering me a job. It's a good salary. It's good health benefits. It's not work I'll hate. And as soon as I go there, I'm like, it's not work you'll hate. That's what you're going to get up out of bed every day and go do something you don't hate. What is that? You know, healthy women don't build healthy families and healthy communities because they force themselves to get out of bed every day and just hate. And I understand need. This is not, I'm not coming from a place like, oh, we could just choose because the universe will provide. I don't mean that at all. I do mean we might have to do that. Do it and hold on to your vision and know that this is not a life sentence for you, that we do what we need to do to get to where we need to go. But don't deny yourself the clarity of knowing where it is you want to get to.
That is so very true. And I know we've all been in that, or many of us in that space of sometimes you just have to do what you have to do in the short term, right? You got to put food on the table. You got to take care of your kids. You got to do whatever that thing is. You got to pay for college tuition. Right? And so we do those things.
Yes.
But I love that idea of never, ever lose sight of that thing that you are passionate about, that thing that gets you excited to get up early. Like I get up every day at 5 a.m. happily so I can work on Reinvention Rebels.
Exactly.
Not because I have to, but because I want to.
Want to, exactly. And Wendy, you raised something for me that I had almost forgotten. When I was in that valley experience, shortly before that, I had lost sight of my vision. And I'm a person that most of my life, I've had a one-year goal, a three-year goal, and a five-year goal laid out in front of me as long as I can remember. Grammar school, I've always had these goals laid out. We won't talk about whether or not I met them, but I knew what they were. And so on this period, right before this valley excursion, I had just lost sight of that. I was living in a place where my most recent goals had all been fulfilled and I hadn't yet gotten to the space of creating new ones. And a lot of other things in life begin to happen. I lost to death a lot of people that I loved dearly in a very compressed period of time. And the deaths were, in many of the cases, they were sudden. And two of those deaths, not my parents, that's a different thing, they were there, but two of my peers who died were what I call my memory keepers. And those are the people who, you know, knew you before your becoming. And that's important in my life. I like to go back and say, you know, when I was six, and so losing them along with my parents, my brother, it was just this gaping hole. And I think I was sitting in that space of trying to push through that and neglecting, you know, there's a difference between surviving and thriving. And I was so focused on surviving, I had stopped doing those things that had helped me to thrive. And so, and part of what helps me to thrive is what I said, is to have a clear picture of where it is I want to go. And I had lost that. I just wanted to be not grieving. I just wanted my friends alive. I just wanted, and that put me in a place where I couldn't manifest a vision, because you have to have one to manifest it. So, right? You've got to have one. So.
Exactly. And I think that what you're saying is a very common experience for women, especially because it seems like women, not that men don't have strong friendships,
right?
Because they do, but it's different often.
Yes.
And, you know, I feel like women, we always have our crew. We always have those people who are our ride or dies. They're always with us. You know, to your point about those people that keep our memories. And when you get to a certain age, and of course that starts to change, as you're suggesting, right? Whether it's in your 50s or your 60s or your 70s, at some point, our parents pass on, mm-hmm. our cousins, our siblings, our friends. And it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's hard when you have this life full of these people that help support us and lift us up.
Yes. Yes.
And then some of those people aren't there anymore that we... Yeah. have relied on in lots of different ways, whether it's mm-hmm. spiritually or, I don't know, the holder of our dreams.
Exactly. Exactly.
And one thing I know you do with Fired Up is that you help people build, you know, women build community, because it feels like it gets to be even more important as we get older mm-hmm. and our world gets smaller.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What do you think that women can do to continue to build community as we age?
I think there's at least two things. One is, again, to know what it is you enjoy or that you think you might enjoy and go find people who are doing that. And so that you find like-minded people engaged in something they're passionate about. My coming to the storytelling community, which is really brand new to me, but it has brought a whole world of people that I'm so grateful for. And the other thing, I just believe in lifting people up. It excites me to be able to say to somebody, you know, you look fabulous. You did that magnificently. I'm inspired when I hear, listen to you. And again, I'm so energy centric, but I think that's energy that when you put out there, then people, you know, it creates currents and people just ride the currents to you. So those are the two ways. Just be positive and encouraging and uplifting and go do what it is that you like to do and find people who are doing that. And then I think the other things begin to happen naturally. And of course, yeah, being of service in some way. That there are so many little ways that we can be of service to others. But I moved. I lived, my family's from Greater New Haven generationally. I mean, generation after generation after generation. And I actually had some concern when I moved to another part of the state. It's like, I come from a place where everybody knows me. If they don't know me, they know my parents, they know my siblings, they know my, I thought, whew, I'm going to have to meet people without just saying my name and people saying, oh yes, I know who you are. You're right. So there, and I'm so glad for that journey because when I moved, I have always wanted to write, not necessarily write and be published, but I enjoy writing and I wanted to write in a more formal way. And so I found a group of writers and that began my community. And then from that group of writers, you meet other people and you meet other people and, you know, it grows and grows, but do what it is you've always wanted to do or always have done. And you'll find like-minded people who become your community.
I love that. And you're right. It's so true. And I think even through the pandemic and not being able to see people in person the way we're accustomed to, you know, something that's so life-changing really for all of us, I've come to realize it's still so we can still powerfully connect with people.
Oh, absolutely.
I realized even without seeing them in person.
Absolutely. Isn't it amazing? Yes. Yes. I think we've all been shocked by this. Like, you know, like I feel you like this. I actually feel, yeah, I feel you. And yeah. I connect to you. Yeah. Yeah, it is. So again, I think, you know, that speaks to energy. The energy isn't absent. The way of being in one another's presence has changed, but energy hasn't gone anywhere. And so it's communicated differently, but it's still present.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that that's been a great way for people, especially people that might live by themselves, so that maybe they're not isolating with anybody else. Mm-hmm. So, and I know that can feel very, very lonely. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's me.
Yeah.
I live alone in Madison, Connecticut. That's not exactly a metropolis. I don't have people banging on my door or driving by. Yeah. And I live alone. And
you're such a great example, though, of... Mm-hmm. How you can be vibrant mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. engaged mm-hmm. and excited despite mm-hmm. the fact that you ain't seeing anybody in person. But right. I get the idea of like there are no limits. They're only exactly. the limits we set for ourselves.
Oh, Wendy, you're so right. You're so right. That's right. That's right.
And yes. I can get caught up sometimes in, oh, well, I could have, would have, should have. Mm-hmm. But I think the older I get, the more I'm getting much more tuned into when I'm telling myself a story.
Yes.
That isn't yes. necessarily true, but yes. you know, and it's not like even anyone else is even telling me that story. It's not like my friends, my family, my husband is saying, Wendy, you know, I mean, yes. that's just what I'm making up in my own head.
I so get it. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, that has to do with when I said I got the message in, you will do it alone, because I had been telling myself the story about the reason this happened and this happened and this didn't happen and this didn't happen is because the person that had been my business partner had been called by family emergency to, she had to leave the business. I mean, she had to, I understood that there were no issues with that, but when things weren't what I wanted them to be or needed them to be for me, it was all because, well, you know, it's because no, that's not why it's because you have it recalibrated. And I always said as a joke, but in Dreamcatchers, one of the workshops that we did was who moved my cheese? And I said, I did all these workshops about preparing for the reality. Your cheese will be moved. Just know that. It's just called life. And you know, how do you plan for the fact that that's going to happen? I thought, I did all those workshops. People got so much out of it. And my cheese is gone and I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue what to replace that with. How did that happen? But, you know, you tell me, I told myself that story over and over. Oh, well, I can't do this because now it took two of us. And those were all stories. It took two of us for the way it had been with her. It only takes one of me for it to be what it will be without her. As you say, rewire and really look at what we're telling ourselves as limitations. So, yeah.
Anything is possible. And, you know, I'm really trying to shift to that limitless mindset, because I feel like so much of this is our mindset, like basically a lot of what we're talking about, how we see ourselves, how we perceive what's possible. That internal chatter is all about that mindset. And I know, you know, we go through different periods of time in our lives where we have different mindsets about things. And obviously things happen to us that often we're not prepared for. Mm-hmm. Your point about they move my cheese and what? Right. How dare they?
Right. Like, right.
That doesn't feel right. Right.
No.
But I think that there's this amazing opportunity. And I've seen this certainly in connecting with my guests, mm-hmm. in having really a lot of engagement with people, like on Instagram, this whole idea of as we age, we can shift into this mindset.
Mm-hmm.
That perhaps it's different than what we've had before, because our circumstances might be different. And, you know, it's different for all mm-hmm. of us, obviously, but that we can be just as happy, just as satisfied, just as fulfilled as the other parts of our life.
This is hands down the most, this part of my life right now is so full, so rewarding. I'm so full of joy and gratitude. I can't tell you. And I think there was a period prior to the valley where life was it was wonderful in all the ways that we measure a wonderful life. And I was grateful. I wasn't a person who took it for granted. It's like, I'm grateful. I work hard. Working hard doesn't necessarily mean you'll be rewarded. A lot of people work hard and don't. So I didn't say, oh, I worked hard. And that's like, I worked hard. And through the grace of God, I was also rewarded with, you know, as you know, because you're one of them great friends and great adventures and great work and great family. And I thought that was the most marvelous time of my life. But I realized I was wrong, because this is really just a really, I say to people, with all that's going on in the world, which is pretty dark and depressing and scary and unloving and poisonous, and I'm not immune to any of that. I am well aware of all of that. That's why I do the work that I do. So there's that. But thank God in my inner self, my life is so full and rich, which gives me the resiliency and the strength to be able to do what I can do about what's going on outside. It's why I worked as hard as I did in the election. I only get one vote, but if I can convince 10 or 15,000 other people to vote with me, then I know I have done all that I can do. And I was able to do that because of the joy and the gratitude and the peace that I feel in my inner life gave me the strength to attack what's going on in the external world.
Yeah. And I think that speaks to how all of us, no matter what our circumstances are, we have to give ourselves some grace.
Yes. Yes.
We have to practice very deep self-care. Because
mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to do it for us.
Nobody's going to do it for us. That's right. That's right.
We have to decide that we're worth it. We have to really prioritize ourselves.
Exactly.
In that way that, you know, for so many years, I know so many of us didn't, because we were running around doing all those other things. But no,
exactly.
Like,
exactly.
I think it's just this great time to be able to do that in this, you know, very dynamic way. And I love that, you know, you're such a great example of that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Wendy, also, feeling like I want to share an anecdote, which may or may not fit into what we're talking about, but when we talked about our mindset and what we can do and the limitations, and as a friend, as a personal friend, you may have heard this story before. I always said I had amazing people as parents that I had, and I'm going to say with all due respect, I'm not saying they were amazing parents. They were wonderfully loving parents. And they were also amazing people separate from parenting. And my father was, both my parents really believed that you can conquer anything. If you say it, you can do it, you can be it. And I always just knew as a kid that I was going to be a fabulous ping pong player based on nothing. I just knew I would be. It just looked like something that I'd be really good at for some reason. I don't know why, but and so we got a ping pong table and it was in the basement. And so the first day that we got it, I was so excited. And you may know I had three brothers, pretty competitive, and I couldn't wait to go downstairs and just like beat them to death. So my father said, come on, Dee, you know, we're going to go play around. Do you know how to play ping pong? I'm like, sure. He's like, okay. So we go downstairs and pick up the paddle. He says, no, that's not how you hold it. And he shows me, you know, you can hold it this way or this way. Some people do. Which way do I choose this? I thought, oh, this doesn't matter because as soon as you toss that ball over here, it's all over. Well, I was horrid. I have no words to tell you how bad I was. There was no ball you could send me that I could return. Every ball, I was running around the basement scrambling for the ball. It was horrible. And I'm saying to myself, how could you not make this paddle connect with the ball? It's like, I don't get it. So I suffered like that for about 15 minutes. And then I said, oh, well, I guess I don't like ping pong. And I turned around and go upstairs. So my father said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to go upstairs and do my homework because, you know, that always works. And he said, no, you're not. You're going to stay here and play ping pong. And I said, well, I don't like it. He said, you don't know that you don't like it because you haven't played it. So anyway, long story short, my father made me play ping pong like three nights in a row after dinner. And for 2.5 of those nights, it was just like the first night, I was chasing the ball over the basement out of every out of every 12 serves, I might have returned the ball once and all cockeyed and crazy. And, you know, sometimes it hit the table and sometimes it didn't. But the end of this story is I did turn out to be an amazing ping pong player. And I did beat my brothers, and I might have hustled a little in college at the ping pong table, just a little. But that was the lesson that taught me, and that's what he kept saying to himself, the reason you can't is because you've told yourself you can't. And we're going to stay here until you rewire that message. And if you knew my father, he'd say to me, and doggone it, except that's not what he said, I don't care if you never pick up a ping pong paddle again after I see that you've connected to this, but you don't ever have to play ping pong in life again. But we're not leaving here until you've rewired your messaging. And I thought that was one of the most profound lessons I ever got. Because if you saw where I started, it's amazing to me, even as I talk about it, that I could ever play at all, let alone being really, really good at it. But I had told myself when I couldn't hit the first two balls, I can't do this. End of story. Oh, I can't do this after all. I'm done. Yeah, you can. So anyway, that's my story.
That's so powerful. I think that so many times in life, we give up so easily. We give up on ourselves.
Exactly.
And again, it's not necessarily somebody even telling us, oh, well, you're bad at that. We don't need anyone else to tell us that because we make up this story ourselves about, I thought I was going to be great. I'm not, and not wanting to necessarily put in the hard work. Like, I just want to show up and be great.
Exactly.
Like, Serena Williams is not great because, yes, Serena Williams has a gift, but she perfects that gift.
She didn't start out. That's right.
Exactly. And it was like, you know, she went through so much to become the player she is. So, yes, she had this God-given talent. Absolutely.
Yes.
But we can all have that talent and still it doesn't mean we're going to be great.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Like all of us have any great someone who's great at something, whether it's playing the piano or an athlete or whatever it is.
Exactly.
We got to practice.
Yeah, it's right. That's right.
And put the effort in. And I think we live in a world now where people are like, well, I just want to be able to do it.
Right.
I want, you know, especially young people, like, well, you know, give me a lot of money for not doing that much.
And doesn't work that way. And one other piece of this story in terms of the lesson, I remember, because, you know, I'm trying to outwit my father. And so I'm saying to him, when he's insisting that I learn how to play ping pong, I would say, well, it's not as if it's geometry. It's not as if it's physics. Like, I could go all through my life and never be a good ping pong player, and that's not going to affect the quality of my life. And he said, not being a good ping pong player won't affect the quality of your life, but telling yourself you can't when you can will.
Yeah, that's so powerful, which is true, right? You can apply to any part of our life. And I think it's so powerful to have a parent that's telling you this, that's, you know, exemplifying this, that is like this life lesson that you can apply to anything that you can call upon as you're doing, right?
Yes, yes.
When we kind of get down on ourselves and we maybe haven't really given it a lot of effort, but we're like, well, that's not going to work out anyway.
Right, you know, right. And it's not important.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So I think that's so powerful. You have shared so much wisdom in our conversation. And as we wrap up, is there any last gem that you want to share with the audience about reinventing yourself, reimagining, and, you know, how we can do that?
You know, I just think if you have a recurring message, and, you know, I know for myself, these messages, they have shown up differently in life, but there are central, the messages have never really changed in terms of my purpose. They may have come differently, but the message has never really changed. And so I would encourage you, if you have a message, that pursue it in the way that you can. I don't mean walk out of your job and start a business, but, you know, go to Pinterest boards and look at people who are doing what it is you're interested in, or buy magazines about it, or listen to Wendy's podcast and listen to and hear other people who have done it. But I just think it's really important that those messages keep coming back for a reason. And I think it's not only to our detriment when we ignore it, but it's to the detriment of others who would be blessed by your pursuing your passion when we ignore it. And so if you don't do it for you, do it for the gift that you can be to community and family.
I love that, because we all have this message. We all have something of value to add to the world, whether it's big, small, whatever way, you know. And I think that's so powerful. I'm sure people are going to want to know how they can connect with you.
Well, currently, my website is ubuntustorytellers.com, and that's UBUNTU, storytellers.com. That's my website, and there is a way to connect with me there. And I don't know if this will be up by the time this airs, when we're working on denisekeys.com. And that's the other way. But through Ubuntu, whenever Denise Keys is live, you'll be able to link to it through Ubuntu Storytellers. And my email is info@ubuntustorytellers.com. Yep.
That's great. And I'm going to also put that in the show notes, so that, because what I found is that, you know, people discover my podcast in all kinds of ways. So they, 6 months from now, and someone's listening to our episode and they say, oh, I want to go to her website and see what she does.
Yeah, great.
And it's amazing how people will tell me, oh, well, I just found you and I binge listened to all your episodes.
Yes. 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 Yes.
It's a good way.
Right? No, absolutely. Well, I listened to three in a row. I listened, of course, at your maiden voyage. And then I missed a week or two. Then I went back and heard Erica. And then I went back and listened to three in a row. And I thought, it's just a great, you know, women are inspiring and you're motivational. And I thought, you know, and again, against this backdrop of what we're experiencing in the outer world, to hear women tell their stories of fear and challenge and conquering their fear and pushing through and doing it anyway. It's a great way to spend time. And if you're walking or driving, what better thing to do than to listen to Reinvention Rebels while you're doing that?
Oh, well, thank you. But you're right, though. It's inspiring for me just to talk to so many amazing women. And I get something I get something from every episode, from talking to my guests, something I've had in my own life. That story you just told us about what your father taught you. I mean, that, just like embedding that little thing the next time I'm like, oh, well, I don't think I can do this.
Right, right.
Yep. And then stopping to say, well, wait a minute. Have I actually even tried? Or is it that I just tried something
exactly. without any effort? Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. And so I love that. I cannot thank you enough.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. Well, thank you. It's been, the joy has been all mine. It really is. It's so nice to connect with you this way. And I'm so happy that this exists. I know it's been part of your vision, not quite nailed down, didn't know exactly what it was going to be, but certainly in the media, certainly inspiring others and bringing people together are just a small part of your many, many, many talents. And so I'm glad that they've all coalesced here in this forum. So thank you.
Thank you. I love it. I love it. And there's more, so much more, I think, for both of us to come.
Yes.
Just being our authentic selves.
Exactly.
You find that space and what that can lead to in ways simply to be of service to others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Come on, 2021.
Exactly. Because I feel like if we could do this in 2020,
yes,
when it's been so difficult on so many different levels, that there's no stopping us in 2021.
Exactly. We've learned so many lessons. That's a whole nother show, the COVID lessons, right?
Yeah. I mean, that has, because I think I wouldn't have had the opportunity to create this.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have still created it, but it might not have happened this way. I mean, I just feel like, as much as it's been a challenge on so many levels, it's also been this amazing gift.
Exactly. We can take the worst of circumstances and extract the gift from it. So,
So thank you, my dear friend.
Hey, amazing listener. Did you love today's episode? Did you find inspiration you can apply to your own life? I'd love for you to take a moment to rate and review the Reinvention Rebels podcast on your favorite platform. That would be awesome, and I would be so appreciative. Let's help spread the word to more people and get them inspired. Are you tired of waiting for someday? Feel like you're too old or it's too late to reinvent yourself? Unsure of how you'd even get started on the path to midlife reinvention? I'm here to help. As your guide on the side and host of the top 2% globally rated Reinvention Rebels podcast, I've been around the reinvention block a lot. Here's a simple way you can get started. Sign up for my free audio, 5 questions to spark your curiosity and inspire your Reinvention Rebel journey. It all starts with getting curious about what's possible, and I've got 5 questions to help tease out some very cool ideas. Let's get started. Details are in the show notes.